We are on Tezav Mabez as we do the last full daf here in the first parak, and we pick up from the last Mishnah, second to last Mishnah here in the parak. Chamisha Tamid veChamisha Muadin, says the Mishnah, as we already referred to yesterday, the Yachas of Tam and Muad. We're going to start that in a minute, but I just wanted to mention one more thought related to the last few lines that we spoke about yesterday, Rabbi Nassan. We spoke about the Isser of being Megadol Kelev Ra and Sulam Ru'ua B'toch Peso based on L'sasun Davin B'Vesecha. So we mentioned quickly that this is based on an Aseh and a Los Aseh in Parshas Kiseitse. The Asisa Ma'akel Gagecha is the mitzvah's Aseh of removing dangerous situations in one's house. But it is a mitzvah aseh d'araisa, called the mitzvah of makeh. The Chinuch writes in Tavkuf Memvav, lahasir hamichsholim v'hanigafim mikol mishkanoseinu, to make sure that I remove all dangerous items. But it really includes all dangerous items. That's the language of the Chinuch. The mitzvah isn't livnos makeh. The mitzvah is lahasir hamichsholim v'hanigafim. Right, he puts the prevention of danger front and center in the mitzvahs aseh. There is a fascinating minchas chinuch that discusses how to understand this mitzvah. As we said yesterday, is it more goal oriented? It's about a prevention of sakana, or is it no? It's a mitzvah like other mitzvos, like the mitzvah of, let's say, tzitzis or tefillin v'chulu. So there's an action that is mandated. It is maisa focused. The minchas chinuch, in a number of comments on the mitzvah, gives the impression of the second version that we just said, that it is a mitzvah like all other mitzvahs, because after all, his lashon is hine mitzvahs asei zu hi kachol mitzvah shechiva haTorah b'kum va'asei kimo im lo veish talis chayev betzitzis umekayim mitzvahs asei v'im ein bo tzitzis bitel hamitzvah. Hachanami, says the chinuch, it says the minchas chinuch, im yesh lo bias im osem makeh kiye mitzvahs asei v'im lav, if I don't put a makeh, I'm a vatel and asei every single moment that I don't have the makeh up. V'gam pashut, the tekef sheyesh lo bias chal alav haasei v'alos haasei u'becho rega over alav yasei v'im achar kach asa mikol makom lo tikein masha avar l'mafreya. Even if I build it 3 days late, I did not remove the iser. Right? If I wear tefillin one day, it doesn't fix the fact that I didn't wear tefillin yesterday, chas v'shalom. Right? That doesn't help. So the Minchas Chinuch says the same thing here. Ki achiyav shel mitzvah b'chol rega rachuv alav. Ki ein ze mitzvah shi pam achas kamo lulav umilav adom v'chadome. V'ze pashut. That's the Minchas Chinuch's fascinating suggestion. Lishitaso, when he talks about whether a non-Jew could do the mitzvah, he says no. Right, because again, he says it's not result oriented. Once you take care of it, that solves the problem. No, it's a mitzvah like all other mitzvahs, and therefore you have to do it yourself. Imosa mitzvah de chereshot avikatan ogoy lav bar shlichus lo kiyem a mitzvah ubitel mitzvah saseh nehi da alo saseh lo avar. Amazing! I have a guy put up a fence for me. He says in Minchas Chinuch, I was mevatel the asay of makeh. I'm no longer violating the lo saseh, because the lo saseh hilamit is result oriented. Okay, it's not dangerous anymore. Kiva dehu nishmar velo shayach lo sasen damim kamo kol lo saseh acha mitzvah saseh lo kiem de mitzvah saseh tzarech lasos ohu o shlucho kamo afrashas trumas amaisras vechadome baharbe mitzos. That's an amazing minchas chinuch. You have to do it yourself. You're mevatel a mitzvah if you have a non-Jew do it. Right? The most assume less than that. Meaning you can't have a goy do it. The question is, can you make a bracha on the goy's building? So that's the Machan Ephraim that is discussed in Hilcha Shluchin, where he says that you are allowed to. Even if a goy puts it up, the Machan Ephraim, early Achronim, Yochal Avarech Alav, Afal Pisha Goy Osohu Ve'en Shlichus L'Goy, Hachani Mili B'midi Deboy Shlichus. If this is the opposite of the Minchas Chinuch. By something that requires Shlichus, so then a goy is excluded. So a goy would be excluded. But this, not only is it result-oriented, but it doesn't even require shlichus. Right? It's just get it done. Avo b'midi de lo boy shlichus, u b'lav achi, yochel chavir ola asoso, u masha asa asui, kigo nidon di don di tikin makel shel chavir o shlomi daito, hari ze shapir, kinami ase o goy chashav kilo aso Yisrael, v'nira li sheyevarech. He could even make a bracha. Right? The Magen Avraham quotes this Machan Ephraim in Ilchas Halakas Neris. Right, the case of a woman is running late, it's after Shkia on Friday night, so she can't light the candles anymore, because Suffolk Daraisa, she can't light the candles. She can have a guy light. That's what we paskin. Amir La'akim, during Ben Hashmashis, is mutter. Could a woman make a bracha on that? Pashas, no. What do you mean, a guy's lighting the candles? The Magen Avraham quotes the Magen Ephraim, yes! It's also result-oriented. Shalom bayis, oneg, covered, whatever one suggests, but that's the, this Magen Ephraim is quoted on the page of the Shulchan Aruch. And there are other ideas as well. You shouldn't, there's an interesting Rokeach. The Rokeach says that, right, you shouldn't do a mitzvah in it's the Shibali Haleket. Right, not the Rokeach. Let me find the words of the Shibali Haleket. Shibali Haleket, one of the, right, the Rav Sidkiya Arofe, one of the Rishonim. Can I find his words here? But yeah, Shibali Haleket. Quotes, okay, I'm not going to look for it now, but he quotes that you shouldn't do it in a, here it is. Ba'o dai talomar, diminosh sham inon, l'shar mitzvahs kamo ma'ake, o tzitzis v'suka, sha'osr lehish tamesh bahen derech bizayon lidros aleha. Says the Shibali Haleket in Hilchas Chanukah, that you're not supposed to use the ma'ake in a bizayon way, like you're not supposed to use suka or tzitzis, or That's amazing also. What, that this is a Devar Shel Mitzvah? A Chefza Shel Mitzvah? It doesn't have Kedusha. But again, the more you relate it to the Minchas Chinuch type of Maisa HaMitzvah like other mitzvahs, the more you might say that as well. Okay, but again, that's an important topic that hopefully we'll come back to, but a little bit related to the last discussion of Rabbi Nassan. Okay, now we continue with the Mishnah. Chamisha Tamin V'Chamisha Muadim. Five times and five muads. We will see how to understand this first line. The Gemara will talk about it. Whether this is a title for what is to follow, or it is something separate. We'll see. Habahema Bapashis is that it's a title. We have the five muadin list, five tamin listed here. Ta means karen, animals unusual to do these items. So it's chasi nezek. Habahema, eina muedes, lo ligach, lo ligo, velo lishoch, velo lirbos, velo livot. An animal is not a muad to damage, either with their horns, or body, or bite, or sit on, or kick. Right? All of those are kavanas lahazik, as Karen is defined. Ein hana'a lehezeka, as Karen was defined earlier. And therefore, these are all chatinezek. Hashein, there's a discussion, the Rush, in the beginning of the second part, discusses. It doesn't discuss if an animal eats something, but not for the hana'a shebo, eating it to damage it, right? So is that considered karen or not? That's a discussion a little bit. Or do we say, no, if the animal eats, it's always shein, right? Even if it's doing it for damage purposes, we can't go into the psyche of the animal, but the Rush notes that our Mishnah does not list that. So I'll list that as le'echol davar she'ein ra'ui le'echol. Something like that. We'll talk about ksus v'kelim, but if it needs something that's unusual. Okay, that's one. Hashein. Now, pashtus, we get to the five muads. Hashein mu'edes le'echol es aroila. Shein is what to eat, what is normal, for a normal to eat. Haregel mu'edes l'shbar b'derech ilucha. Regel damages as it is walking. Vishar hamuad, vishar hamazik bereshus hanizak, vihadam. Those are five. We'll have to see how to understand all of them. Last section, hazeh, vahari, vahado, vahanam, vahabardalus. All these wild animals, wolves and lions and bears, namer bardalus, vahanachash, hareilu muadin. All of these are automatically muadin. What does that mean? They are automatically mu'adin. Look at Tosus. Tosus is printed on the next Amud. Tosus, Tez Zayin Amud Aleph. Tosus says, V'hanachash. They're all mu'adin. Lav bechol in yane hezek chashivi mu'adin. Don't think, says Tosvos, that a lion is a mu'ad to do everything. No. They're all mu'ad in their respective realms. It doesn't mean that every mu'ad does everything. Ela kol echad b'midi d'orche, kagon, shabaz ze'e v'taraf, ari v'daras, o taraf l'aniach, avo b'midi d'lav orche, as the Gemara will discuss, kagon ari shetaraf achal. The Gemara will discuss whether it's normal for a lion to eat its animal while it's still alive, or first to kill it, and then to eat it. So the Gemara is going to have limitations there. So what do you mean? An ari is always a muad. Says Tosas, no. It's only a muad for what it normally does. V'chein shar hazekos elavar chayu lo havi mu'adin el mishalman chati nezek. It's possible for a lion or a tiger or a bear to pay chati nezek. Doesn't mean mu'ad for everything. Ubemidi de'ur chayu de mishalman nezek shalem ha'nodavka b'chatzer enizak alvriz rabin pater as we will see. But that's Tosfos. Tosfos limits this line of hare ilu mu'adin. That means only for their respective actions. Look at the Rambam does not explicitly say this. The Rambam doesn't explicitly say this. It could be that the Rambam, the Vilna Gaon, assumes that the Rambam could be arguing on this. The Rambam just quotes our Mishnah. Chamisha mine behema mu'adin mitchilas biryasan lahazik v'afilu hein tarbut. Five animals are mu'ad from when they are born, even if they are quote-unquote trained. Right? Rahman al-Islan, sometimes you hear on the news, you know, the pit bull that went out and killed and hurt and maimed, and you hear the odor. You know, he's really a trained, nice little pit bull. But the Mishnah says it's impossible. The Rambam says, afilu ein tarbus, right? Certain animals are just not trainable, and we have to be nervous about that. Leficha im heziku ohemisu benegicha o beneshicha vidrisa v'chayotze behen chayev nezak shalim ve'elohein zev ari dob namer bardalas v'chein hanachash. Interesting, the Rambam puts in a v'chein, right? We do have in the last line of the Mishnah that a nachash might be different according to the other opinion, but the Rambam puts it there. Let's just read that for a second. The Mishnah says, Rebbe Elazar Omer, Bizman Shein B'nei Tarbus Einan Mu'adin. Rebbe Elazar says, no, he argues on the other animals. When they are trained, they're not mu'ads. But Rebbe Elazar says, I'll admit to you, V'hanachash Mu'ad La'olam. That the Nachash is Mu'ad La'olam. So the Rambam, when he describes, he holds like the first opinion. The Rambam says, even if they're Tarbus, but he still separates Nachash. Same thing as the other animals. But the Rambam puts it separately as if acknowledging that, yes, they're all mu'ads, but still nachash is somewhat unique. And obviously there's a lot of symbolism of the nachash. Kodesh Baruch Hu put that koach into the nachash. We've discussed Rabbeinu Bachai in Parsha Shmini, why the nachash is not one of the Shmona Shratzim, right? Why is it a nachash mitame? But that is not for now. Interesting, though, the Achronim discuss, so the Nachash is the worst. That's what it seems like from these Mishnayos. A little difficult if you remember those Mishnayos and Maseches Brachos. Remember what the Mishnayos say? That if you're davening Shmona Esrei, Vafilu Nachash Karach Al Akevo, Eino Mafsik. And the Gemara there says, if you see a wild ox, it's the season, so you better run. Even if you're Shmona Esrei, your life's in danger, you better run. So it sounds like there that oxen are more muads than Nachash. And here it's pretty clear that even the Rambam, Mubasa, like the Tanakama, puts Nachash in differently. So the Sholem Meshiv, Rav Nathan Sid, discusses this in one of his Chuvas in Kama, Chelek Aleph, Simin Vav, where he suggests, Shemash Nachash Mu'ad La'olam, Bein Lahazik, Bein Lahamis, Haynu Dafka Ba'alei Chayim Acherim. Maybe our Mishnah could be understood as Nachash to other animals. That's where Mu'ad La'olam, that's what we're talking about, Pashtos. Aval Adam ain't darko lohamisu lahazik. Shuhu yore min ada, pen yahargenu. But unless it doesn't feel scared, but it does not as natural to go to hurt humans. Umishem kach, linyin tfilo amru shalo yifsok. Regarding davening. So there's a difference between basically to animals as the victim or to people as the victim. Rahman al-Islan. So there are other answers given. But that's a question that must be dealt with in terms of the Mishnayos and Baba Kama. And the Mishnayos in Maseches Brachos. Okay, so let's continue. Says the Gemara, so now we have to try to understand, we're going to have a couple of pshatim, how to understand this Mishnah, and this effort to understand the Mishnah goes all the way to the first wide line on the next Amud. So here we go. So, midiktani hashein mu'edes le'echol. There are three parts to the Mishnah, if we could structure it. We have the five times, the five muadin, and then the list of the five times and the five muadin. And then we have that was part two, the list, and then part three, we have the animals that are muad mitzchilasa. So we're going to focus really on the first two parts. So, b'tetani, ashein muadis le'echol. In the middle part, it says that ashein is muad to eat. So, shein is pein ezek shalim. So where is this Mishnah talking about? We must be talking about Chatzar HaNizak, because Shein and Regel are Pater and Rishas HaRabim, as we know. So, Viktani, But and the Mishnah continues and says, Behema ain't a mu'edas l'shalim kulei. The Mishnah, the Behema is not mu'ed to pay everything. Abo chatzi nezek mishalemes. But the Mishnah, in the first part of the Mishnah, obviously it's talking about Karen. It says chamisha tamin. So Karen pays chatzi nezek. Who is this Mishnah according to then? Mani Rabbanani. The Amri, the Rabbanan, hold. Mishuna Karen b'chatzar anizek chatzi nezek u'du mishalim. Even if Karen is not in Rishus HaRabim, but it's in chatzar anizek, you still only pay chatzi nezek. That's the din of Karen according to the Rabbanan. Amos, which is what we've heard, what we've been assuming till now. Shane and Regel are part of Rishus HaRabim. Karen is chayv chatzi nezek everywhere. It's not agreed to, though, as we will see. But Pasha, so far, Shane, the Mishnah says Shane pays, so that means Rishus HaNizek. And therefore, the Karen in the Resha must be talking about even Rishus HaNizek chatzi nezek. Ema Seifa. But what about the continuation when we're listing the five muads? What else does it say? Shur ha-muad v'shur ha-mazik b'rishus ha-nizak v'ha-adam. What does that sound like? Shur ha-mazik b'rishus ha-nizak. There's no limitation of, only chatzi nezek. So how would you understand shur ha-mazik b'rishus ha-nizak? Asal Rabbi Tarfon. Maybe that's like Rabbi Tarfon's opinion. First time we've had him. The Amar. Mishuna Karen b'chatzar anizak nezek shalim u'du mishalim. Rabbi Tarfon says that Karen only pays chatzi nezek in Rishus HaRavim. If it's in chatzar hanizak, that's even worse. It pays nezek shalim. And that's what it sounds like from that phrase of the Mishnah. Shar hamazik b'rishus hanizak. So, where is the Mishnah talking about? If it's an all in chatzar hanizak, then you have a stira. The first part of the Mishnah said you pay chatzi nezek. The second part of the Mishnah says you pay nezek shalim. So, is it the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan in the beginning, Rabbi Tarfon in the continuation? So the Gemara has a couple of pshatim to understand the Mishnah. I think four altogether. Number one, Reisha Rabbanan, the same for Rabbi Tarfon, right? Can you say that? In the Gemara says yes. The Amar Li Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shmuel told Rabbi Yehuda, Shinina, sharp one, Shvok Masi, Son, V'tah Basroi, leave it, follow me, Reisha Rabbanan, the same for Rabbi Tarfon. Okay, though it's a little difficult, we never like to say that, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi put anonymously two different shittos here in the Mishnah, the first half reflecting the Rabbanan shita, the second half reflecting Rabbi Tarfon shita. Number one. Number two, Rabbi Elazar Mishpeh de Rav Amar, Kula Rabbi Tarfoni. Really, it's all Rabbi Tarfon's opinion, meaning that Rishus Karen versus Hanizak is going to pay Nezek Shalem. The problem is the first two lines of the Mishnah, where the first two lines of the Mishnah discusses all these Einam Uedness to do all these things. So that sounds like Chatzi Nezek. So, Kula Rabbi Tarfoni, Reisha, but it's a little different. The Reisha and the Seifa, not the opinion, but the case. What's the case? Reisha b'chatzar amiyuchedes l'peiros l'echad mehen v'lazeh l'zeh l'shvarim. It's a courtyard where only one of them has rights to put fruit there. But they both have rights to put their oxen there. So regarding oxen, it's considered Rishus HaRavim, right? Because it's considered both. Regarding fruit, it's considered Rishus HaNizak, because only one of them had rights to put fruit there. So the Gabi Shane Havile Chatzar HaNizak. Regarding fruit, that Shane is Chatzar HaNizak, because the Mazik did not have rights to put fruit there. Well, the Gabi Karen have Rishus HaRavim. So that's how it could all be. Rabbi Tarfon's opinion. Amar Rav Kana, Amrita Lishbaitza Kameh to Rav Zvid, Minahar Zah. I said this explanation to Rav Zvid. The Amar Li, Mimatzis Mok Mesma Kula Rabbi Tarfon. Can you really say that the whole Mishnah is reflecting Rabbi Tarfon's opinion? Haktani, Hashain Mu'edis Lecholas Aroila. The Mishnah's language is that the Shain is Mu'ed to eat what is Ro'i to it. As I mentioned before, what does it mean, eino ro'i? Not our issue specifically now, but the Rosh discusses, eino ro'i, the Mishnah says later on, means a shirt. That's not ro'i for an animal to eat. That's for sure considered a problem. It's not shane-like. But what about if an animal eats something that doesn't normally eat? What if a carnivore ate some vegetables, right? Or a herbivore ate some meat? So is that going to be shane? Is there an eino ro'ila for animals by food that it doesn't normally eat? That's a discussion in the Rishonim, in the Rush here, whether that is going to be. But for sure, eino ro'i, as the Gemara here says, means a shirt, right? Something that is not edible. So, back to the question. Can you learn the Mishnah like Rabbi Tarfon? The Mishnah says, Hashein mu'edes lechol za ro'ila in shein ro'ila lo. So if it's not roi, if an animal eats a shirt, you'd only pay chatzi nezek. But 1 minute, we're talking about rishus hanizak. V'irevi tarfon ha'amri mishuna karen b'chazer hanizak nezek shalim mishalim. Right, the Mishnah is mashma that if it's animal eats davar she'eno roi, so then you're only going to pay chatzi nezek. But 1 minute, this is Rebbe Tarfon in rishus hanizak. She said pay nezek shalim. So try number three. Elo la'ola rabbanan hi. Really, it's the Rabbanan, reflecting the Rabbanan Shita, meaning Karen in Chatzar HaNizak also pays Chatzin Ezek. The Chisure Mechzara, Vachiktani, and really the Mishnah is missing, what is Chisure Mechzara? It's missing words, or missing in our understanding of the words, Vachiktani. This is how the Mishnah should be understood. Chamisha Tamen Haim, V'im Hu Adu, Chamisha San Muadin. Right? There are five times, and if they are warned, that's what the next five words mean. It's not talking about five others. There's five times and there's five muads. And now I'm going to list the five times and then list the five muads. No. The first line of the Mishnah is say there are five times and those can become muads. That's not the title for the rest of the Mishnah. Rashi says, V'hainu diktoni chamisha muadin. Right? So, and then, just continue Rashi for a second, V'ha diktoni ashen muedes lecho chulu lav aminyana koi. That's not one of the muads that are being continued from the Reisha. El ha'afi kamar. V'shein v'rega muad de mitchila son. It's just saying they're muad mitchila. Right? That's not referring to the back to the first line. V'ha diktani. We'll read this in the Gemara in a second, but let's just finish the Rashi. V'ha diktani v'shar ha'muad. V'shar ha'mazik b'rshus ha'nizak. Ha'afi kamar. V'heichan ha'da'asan d'shein v'rega b'rshus ha'nizak. It's all a flow, but not explaining a previous line of the Mishnah. So now let's see how the Gemara says that. V'achiktani, back to the Gemara. Chamisha tamenheim v'im huadu chamisha sen muadin. There are five that start off as tav, they can be muads. And then we quote the five tams that could become muads. But the next line of Hashem muedes, that section of the Mishnah, is a new thing. Now we have, v'shein v'rega muadim mitchilasan, that's the contrast. They're muads to start with. V'heichan hada'asan, and where are they considered muads? Right, that's what the line means, v'shar ha'muad, in the Mishnah. It means, b'chatzar ha'nizak. Right, so therefore it is all the shita of the Rabbanan. Says the Gemara Maskev la'ravina, but 1 minute. Haktani l'kaman shar ha'mazik v'rshus ha'nizak. Later on in the second perek, the Mishnah is there, go through each part of our Mishnah in detail. It'll quote little parts of our Mishnah, Shara Mazik, and go through. And it's clear from that Gemara that that line of Shar Hamazik Mershus Anizak is referring to Karen. That's clear from the discussion there. So Ketzad, and now what did we just explain that line? That line we just said is explaining Shane and Regel. So that doesn't fit. Ketzad, I am Rebishlama Ariba. If you say that this line is talking about Karen, so Misham Hachiktani Ketzad. That's why the Mishnah in the next parak said Ketzad and goes into a discussion of Karen. Ela I am it lo Ariba, my Ketzad. But if it's referring to Shane and Regel and not Karen, so the discussion of the Mishnah in the next parak doesn't fit. Because the Mishnah clearly assumes that this line of our Mishnah is referring to Karen. So you can't say that it's referring to Shane and Regel. So try number four. El, remember, first we try to say it's half Rebbe Tarfon, half the Chachamim. Then we wanted to say it's all Rebbe Tarfon. Then we wanted to say it's all the Chachamim. So now we have fourth pshat. El Amar Avina, Chisuri Mechsura V'Hachiktani. So this is what it means. It's not referring back to Shane and Regel. Chamisha Tam and Haim. V'im Huadu Chamishas and Muadin. As we said earlier, basically instead of, how did we just explain it? We discussed Karen, we discussed Shane and Regel, and then we continue talking about Shane and Regel. We're going to have the same answer as number three, but the last line is going to be referring back to part one of the Mishnah, to the Karen, instead of the continuation of Shane and Regel, to be able to fit in with the next parak. So, Chamisha Tamin Hei Vim Huadu Chamishasan Muadin, V'Shein V'Regel Muadin Mitchilasan, V'Zehu Shor HaMuad. And now, that V'Zehu Shor HaMuad, that now is referring back to the earlier, right? Rashi says, V'Zehu Shor HaMuad, Hada Amram Vim Huadu Chamishasan Muadin, Zehu Shor HaMuad HaKasim HaParsha. So basically, this line of Shor HaMuad is skipping back to the first part of the Mishnah, the Karen. And then, V'shar HaMazik B'rishus HaNizak, Machlokas Rebbe Tarfon V'Rabbanan. That's a machlokas. The yesh muadin achirim kayotze ba'elu. And there are some that are always muads. Hazeh v'hari v'ado v'abardos v'namer v'hanachash. That is the maskana, how to understand the Mishnah. So the Mishnah talks about Karen, and then it talks about Shein HaRegel, and then it goes back to talking about Karen. Tani Nami Hachi, there's a Braisa also that has this understanding. Chamisha Tamenheim ve'muadu chamishasan muadin. Shein v'regel muadim etchilasan v'zeo shor ha-muad going back. V'shor ha-mazik v'rshaz anidah machlokos v'mitarvan v'rabanan. V'yish muadin acherim kayotze ba'elu hazeh v'hari v'adov v'namar v'bardalos v'hanachash. Good. Ika d'ramu lehu mirma. Some have the same exact discussion, but as a contradiction and an answer to the contradiction, not as in the same way as we just said it. Tanan chamisha tamin v'chamisha muadin. Desu leka. There are no more. What about the end of the Mishnah? V'yika zeva riva nova nova bardas v'nachash. So there are more than five muads. So umeshani, and we used Ravina as the answer. Am Ravina hachik sir maxer vachik tani chamisha tamen heivim huadu chamishasan muadim. They're the ones that become muads. V'shein v'regel muadim mitchilasan. V'zeu shara muad, and Karen discussed earlier in the Mishnah is the shara muad in the Torah. V'shara hamazik v'rishus anizak machlokas v'mitarvan v'rabanan. V'ish muadin achirim kayose be'elu hazeh v'ariv adov anam v'bardalas. Viha Nachash. Baruch Hashem. So we have four different pshatim of the Mishnah, the Maskana, how to understand the words of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Okay, v'lo lirbots. Now we're going to get into the discussion of each one of these. So first we talk about the list, the ones listed, the Karen Toms, right? The animal is not a muad to gore or to push. And what does that mean? The Yipei Chazi Nezek, as we discussed at length yesterday, is that Knasa, is that Mamona? Right? What does that mean? An animal's not muad. Is that just lo maskan? The Torah has rachmanus, but really animals are lav v'cheska shimer kaimi. Or when it says ain't a muad, it means because an animal is not expected to do this. Right? V'cheska shimer kaimi. So says the Gemara. Amar Rebbe Lazar lo shanu el apachin gedolim. Rebbe Lazar says that our Mishnah, which says that an animal is not does not normally sit on things to damage them, that's only by large kalim. Aval pachim ketanim orcheu. But pachim ketanim, little pachim, right? Pachim ketanim we know from Yaakov Avinu, going back for the pachim ketanim. But pachim ketanim orcheu, but little kalim. So it's normal for an animal to sit on and damage. That would be regel. That would not be keren. So Gemara says, "Lema Masayale." Let's prove that. Habehema muadis lahalek kadarka ulashaber ulamaeich es haadam vesabehema vesakelim. There's a brisa that says that it's normal for an animal to squish kelim lamaeich. So isn't that against our? Isn't that a raya? Our Mishnah says an animal is not muad to sit on kelim, and this brisa says that an animal is a muad. So I must be. The difference is big kelim, small kelim. Tamar says, no, maybe it's not a raya, dilma min hatsad. It could be that the Bryce is referring to kalim on the side. If an animal is rubbing against kalim, against a wall, to scratch itself or something, so then it's muad. So there's no raya from the Bryce. So we try to bring a proof, and no proof. Now we're going to have three versions of this same discussion. Ika da'ami, others say, Amar Rebbe Lazar, lo tema pachim gedolim hu delav orche. Rebbe Lazar said not only does the Mishnah pater pachim gedolim, ela pachim tanim orcheyu. But you might have thought that pachim tanim is normal, ela filo pachim tanim nami lav orcheyu. No, Rebbe Lazar says the opposite. Even pachim tanim, it's not normal for an animal to sit on. And on that we ask the question, meisvei ulamaech es adam vesabeima vesakelim. The Brisa says you are chayiv for smushing kelim. Amar Rebbe Lazar, dilma min hatsad, no kasha. Rebbe Lazar is talking about sitting on top of. The Bryce is talking about crushing on the side. And finally, the third version. Ika d'rami la mirma. Some has it as a contradiction. Not as a proof, not as a kasha, but just as a contradiction. Tanan, our Mishnah says, v'lo lirbos. V'yotanya ulamaych ezadam mesake behemah mesakelim. Is an animal muad to sit on kelim or not? Amar Rebbe Lazar lo kasha. Kan b'pachim gedolim, kan b'pachim Ketanim. Okay, three versions, how to have Rebbe Lazar's discussion on the Mishnah. Next, Hazeh Bahari Vechulu. Now we get into these animals. My Bardalus. What is a Bardalus? What type of animal is a Bardalus? So Amar Rav Yehuda Nafrza. Okay, it doesn't really help us. My Nafrza. Amar Rav Yosef Appa. So that's supposed to help us, but there are different translations of what an apa is, from a larger animal to a rodent type of animal, some type of animal that is a mazik, that is a wild animal like the others. Meisve, can a bardalus really be an apa? Rabbi Meir Omer, af hatsavua. Rabbi Meir says that savua is also one of these wild animals. Rabbi Elazar Omer, af hanachash. And Rabbi Elazar was the one that added on nachash to the Tanakhama. V'yam Rabbi Yosef, savua zu apa. And Rabbi Yosef says, savua is apa. So how could we say the bardalus is an apa? Right? Savua is the apa. And he, and Rabbi Meir added on savua to the Mishnah. Lo kasha, kan bet savua zachar, kan bet savua nekeva. There's different types of savuas. Most animals, male and female, don't reflect a different type of bria. But by this animal, whatever the savua is, so it reflects a different, male and female are two totally different types of animals. Titania, savua zachar, lachar sheva shanam nasa atzleif. A savua zachar, after 7 years, turns into a bat. Ate lachar sheva shanam nasa arpad, arpad lachar sheva shanam nasa kimosh, all different types of bats. Kimosh, lachar sheva shanim nasa choach, shade. It all becomes eventually a demon. Okay, that's an agada about this type of animal. The Ian Yaakov here says all of these are talking about after they die. Doesn't mean that a bat one day is going to turn into a different animal. Nirad, the calls that myri la'achar shemesu, the kalu, the avdu, nishtane gufam l'damos la'acher. Similar to what we're about to have in the Gemara. Now let's look what we're going to have. Shidrosha, once we're talking about things changing form. Shidrosha la'adam la'achar shevashonim nase nachash. The spine of a person, after 7 years, becomes looking like a nachash. So that Ian Yaakov said, that's obviously la'achar misa. Vahani mili delokara bemodim. That's only someone who was not korea properly or at all in modim when they said modim in Shmona Esrei. Okay, what is that talking about? Let's stop there for a moment to talk about this. So, if you look in the Mefarshim here, if you look in Tosfos, first of all, Tosfos says on Amud Beis. Tosfos here is printed on Amud Beis. Tosfos says hu lo kara bemodim. Tosfos says, Lefisha mitzvah lekroa, because you have to bow down by modim. V'chi zakif, zakif kechivya. And what does the Gemara Bracha say? We're supposed to go down quickly, and then when we go up from modim, we're supposed to go up slowly like a snake. And that's why if we didn't do that properly, the spine turns into a snake. V'zeo oncho, shekenayu lo b'mashinase nachash. It's a genai. V'yesh mefarshim, and then Tosfos quotes an opinion. Mishum damrina b'medrash. The medrash tells us, sheyesh etzim b'shidro shel adam. There is a bone in the back of our neck, or somewhere on our spine. Shemimenu nutzar la'asilava, where tchias ameisim is going to take place. It's not some achronish, it's in Tosfos. Tosfos here quotes the medrash. That there's a bone that tchias ameisim is going to come from. V'oso etzim chazak v'kashek kolkach. It is a bone that stays forever. And becoming a nachash means it becomes soft and slippery, and it's not going to be tchias amesim. Tosfos quotes that medrash. Tosfos says, I can't imagine that if somebody doesn't bow down by modim, they're not going to be tchias amesim. The aid svara lomar she onesh gadol kol kach bishul avon zeh. Somebody doesn't bow down by modim. So what must you say? It must be symbolic. Not just somebody doesn't. Why wouldn't somebody go down by modim on purpose? Not because somebody has back problems and they can't go down. Why wouldn't somebody go down? And if you look in the tour in Arachayim quotes this. The tour in Arachayim in Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph, where the tour says where you have to bow down in Shmona Esrei. He says, V'shochin ba in modim tchila basof. Right, modim and akulach in hatov shimcha l'chon el hodos. Right, we go down at the beginning of modim and at the end of modim. And then Tosfos quotes, Garcina v'verakama d'babakama, shidro shalada v'chulu, v'hu t'lokar b'modim, mida k'neged mida, shahaylo l'chrov v'lizkov k'nachash, v'luasa k'in l'chach nasa shidro nachash. So the tour quotes this Tosfos. But what's the message? Says the Maharal. Oh, can't learn this without the Maharal. The Maharal says, What is the connection between a person doing modim and not? Says the Maharal right here in the Chiddushi Agados. Sheha Adam Hayelo Shaychos El Anachash. It's obvious from the story of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas and Adam and Chava that there was some Shaychos between, originally, between the Nachash and Adam and Chava. Right, we know the Chazal, the Nachash wanted to marry Chava, and that's why he went to Adam, show Adam, went to Chava and maybe give to Adam. So there was some shaychus. Vim lo haya lo shaychus, elav lo haya mischaber nachash elav lasito. Ki ha-adam hu melech ala tachtonim, vi ha-nachash haya melech ala chayos, kodim she is kalel. V'chein haya rak hu holech bekom azakufa, kemo ha-adam kodim she is kalel. Adam, the nachash, had legs, he walked up straight. What does kom azakufa symbolize? Malchus. Right, the nachash was the top of the chayos, Adam is top of the people. What is modim? In front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we bend down. A Nachash didn't bend down, that's why he got pushed down. Modim means, modim, I bend down by modim, because I recognize I'm a vatel myself. I'm not. Hashem will be va'olech as komamiyus. Hashem can lift me up. But if I don't bend down, then there's no difference between me and the Nachash. The Nachash didn't bend down, I'm not. So that's why I turn into a Nachash. That's the message. And why is it after 7 years? Because there's another Chazal that says it takes 7 years of gestation for a Nachash, and therefore it all connects. Once we're on the topic, though, of the Medrash about the Etzem, right? That's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch discusses this in Simin Shin. What's Simin Shin? Simin Shin. Simin Shin is Malava Malka. Simin Shin, one line. Yisada Adam Shulchan Moti Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah there quotes the Kadmonim. One line is in the Magen Avraham. There's a bone called the Niskoi. That's the Aver that's going to be, Tchias HaMeisim is going to come from. And it only gets nourished from Malava Malka. Why? The Mefarshim explain. Because that's the only limb that didn't get Hanah from the Eitz Hadas. Because the Eitz Hadas, they ate from it on Friday. And this limb only gets nourishment from Motzei Shabbos Malava Malka. That's why Tchias HaMeisim is going to come from that bone. And he's Zeh Aver Nishar Kayim Bekever Ad Eis HaTchiyah V'afil Achish Nirkevu Bo Kolo Atzamos. And the Shara Tzin just quotes what I just said. Right, it's not the... Where is it? She'eber zeh lo kibel hanam eitz hadas. The adam achlo be'erev Shabbos, v'hu ein lo hanam yamaychol, ki yim b'motzi Shabbos. L'fichach lo nigzar alav lihi kalos afilu al yedei misa. The Mishnah Berurah does say, it's not as important as Shalosh Shudas. Let's make sure that we remember that. Right? Oh, I'm not going to eat so much, I'm not going to eat Shalosh Shudas, because I'm going to eat Malva Malka. No. Shalosh Shudas, the three meals on Shabbos, that's learned based out of from Sukkim, at least in Asmachta. Malva Malka is important, but, you know, it's not on the same level as Shalosh Shudas. Okay. The Chashukei Chema discusses, what if somebody has back problems, and they could only bend down once? And once they bend down once, then their back is going to kill them, and they can't bend down anymore. Should they bend down in the Birchas Avos, the first one that they get to? Or should they wait? Modim, you don't double down and modim, you're the snake. And so Pashas, he says, you read our Gemara, you would say, you got to wait. You got to do it by modim. That's the most important one. You read our Gemara. But then he says, Pashas, you don't say that. Because you go by the first one that you get to. You get, Hashem smells like Tiftach, you have to go down by Baruch Atah. Later on, you can't? Okay, you're an Ones. Right, the words I'm talking about a case of Ones. But that's Chashuk Echemed right here. Omer Mar. Rabbi Meir Omer Afat Savua. So Rabbi Meir added in the Tzavua to the list of animals. Rabbi Lazar Omer Afa Nachash. Rabbi Lazar includes the Nachash in the Muadin Mitchilasan. V'hanatra, Rabbi Lazar Omer. Bizman Shein B'nei Tarbus Einan Muadim V'hanachash Muad La'olam. So you see, what do you mean Rabbi Lazar adds on the Nachash? He says the Nachash is different than the others. Rabbi Lazar says the others are trainable, but a Nachash is not. Tani Nachash. Okay, say Nachash, meaning don't say V'chein HaNachash, Af HaNachash. You're right, Rabbi Lazar holds that they are different. Period. Omar Shmuel, next section. This is the Gemara that Tosas quoted before. Ari Birshas HaRabim. Ari Birshas HaRabim. Doras V'achal Potter. Taraf V'achal Chayiv. If it's Dores V'achal, if the Ari, the lion, kills and then eats, Potter, because Shmuel is telling us that that's unusual. A lion first doesn't kill its prey and then eat. He's hungry, so he just goes for the prey right away to eat it. Taraf v'achal chayev, but if it's toref, if it grabs, it eats right away, that's chayev, because that's called shein. That's called mu'an mitchilasan. Doras va'achal pater kivan de'urche le'midras havile kemosha ach. I'm sorry, I flipped it. Doras va'achal pater, this is in Rosh Hasharabim, so I got mixed up. Doras va'achal pater, why is that? That's called normal. It's what I said, but I just flipped it. Dars achal, that's normal, and the animal usually kills, does not kill first. Kivan to urche lemidras havile kamosha achla peres viirakos to havile shem berushas rabim mupatur. The lion doing this is like any other animal eating fruit and vegetables, so it's shem berushas rabim, and therefore pater taraf. But for the animal to first kill and then eat its prey, lav urche, that's not normal, and therefore ironically, you're chayiv, chati nezek, in Rosh Hasharabim. Because remember, Shein and Regel is pater Rosh Hasharabim. Because it's normal, and maybe the nezek should have been more careful if the lion had Rosh to walk around in Rosh Hasharabim. So that's Shmuel's din. Again, daras va'achal is considered Shein, and that's why you're pater. Daras va'achal is considered, taraf va'achal is considered Karen, and that's why you are chayiv. Says the Gemara, lameimra de trefalav or chayhu. What? So, trefa, if the animal, is toref, so that is not urche, if the animal first kills it, v'aksiv, arye toref, bidei gorosav. A lion is toref for, bidei gorosav, for its young. So, but it says, yeah, bishvil gorosav. If the, we're talking about if the lion is hungry for itself, that's where it's normal for the lion to eat, even without killing. But if the animal wants to bring back food for its young, of course it's going to kill it first. Umechanek levosav, bishvil levosav. It's for its females. V'yamale teref charav, bishvil charav, to bring back for the put in the hole to save it. Umonosav terefa, bishvil maonosav. Meaning, in all these cases, if the animal is doing it to eat for itself right now, it doesn't kill first. But for all these other reasons, if it's doing it for its young or for its female, you know, so then it would kill first. That's not what Shmuel is talking about. The Amshar Shlomo does say here that it is pretty unusual that the Gemara is calling this Shein. You would think Shein is a nice... What is the... We said before from the Rif. What is Shein looked at? Right? Shein and Regel is Pater Rosh Hasharabim because Hayaloli Hizahir. Because the Nizak should have been Zahir with his fruit. You're going to say that about a lion? A lion and an animal? Hayaloli Zahir. We're talking about the king of the jungle. So the Amshar Shlomo says it must be lo plug. It must be not just, you're right, in most cases it's hayloli hizaher, but the category is urche. And once an animal acts normally, even in this situation where there is no hayloli hizaher, still we're going to call it shame. Says the Amshar Shlomo here in the end of the parak in Simon Mem Zayin, even though it's difficult. Mukhrech ani lomar, shemei acher she'ein ze min ha-matsui l'chayas b'yishuv, Lo chilka beniske shein veregel ula olam p'turim berush hazarabim v'yafim atara chilka chachamim lo chilka bedinim b'chulu, and he continues. Right, it's going to be a low plug. Okay, v'atanya, back to the Gemara, Braisa, Kasha, and Shmuel. V'chein chaya shenichnas al l'chatzar anizak tarfa behema ve'achla basar m'shalem ezek shalem. Shmuel, how could you say that tarfa is not normal? Here you see from the brisa that you paid Ezek Shalem. No, that brisa is where he was tofreif it to save it for later. And as we said there, it's normal for the animal line to do this. But what's that? Ha'achlatani. But it says the animal ate it. He's not saving it. No. The lion was planning to take it back, and that's why he killed it first. Then it decided to eat it right now. Says the Gemara. Minayadina. And how do you know what went on in the brain of the lion? Oh, the lion ordered it to go. And then change its mind. I'll stay. Right? What are you talking about? How do you know? The ode to Shmuel Nami del Mahachiyu. And also in Shmuel's case, also, why don't you say, oh, maybe the animal changed its mind, and therefore it was normal. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Litzdadin Ktani. Really, the brisa should be understood as two separate cases. Shetarfa lahaniach odarsa v'achla mishalem es nezek shalem. Right, you have to put, it's two different cases. The word tarfa is talking about if it killed it first, la niyaf, that's normal. Or darsa, and ate it right away, as it killed it. So, that's one answer. That's what the Rice is talking about. Ravina Amar, Kikamar Shmuel, Ba'ari Tarbos Valiba Rebbe Elazar. Maybe Shmuel was only talking about a tameable lion, according to Rebbe Elazar, who says they are tameable. Da'amar Lavorche, that Rebbe Elazar said in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Yaf Yefilo Darsa Nami Lachayiv. So Darsa also should be Chayiv Chatzi Nezek, right? If we're talking about if it's not normal. Ella Ravina Lava Shmuel Itvar Ella Amasnisa. No, rather Ravina's statement that we just was talking about is not talking about Shmuel, but it's going on the Brisa up above of Achin Chayish and Nichnasa. Kitani Masnisa Ba'ari Tarbas Valibadur Balazar Dama Lav Urche. The Brisa was talking about a trainable animal. So Ihachi Chati Nezek Boy Shlume. So you should pay Chati Nezek. If it's trainable, that's not normal behavior. No, the Brisa is talking about where we already became a Muad. Ihachi my high Tony look got be told of the Shane, got be told of the Karen Boy Lemisne. That it should be told of Karen if it became a Muad. So Kasha. So we end up not having a question on Shmuel, and the Brisa can have different interpretations. Okay, we continue. Says the Mishnah here, the last Mishnah in the first parak. Ma bein tam lemuad. And tam and muad, this is obviously one of the crucial mishnayos about tam and muad, but the mishnayos are really interspersed throughout the first couple of prakim, as we mentioned. You have to really, it's all one big sugya, and one has to collect, if one is learning this bi'iyun, one would have to collect all of the gemaras that help define each of the avos nezikin, look at the rishonim on those sugyas, and come up with a composite idea about each of their ideas. Good. So now we continue. Ma beitan lamuad. So what's the difference? Elasha tam mishalim chati nezek migufo. Tam pays chati nezek migufo with a limit of how much it itself is worth. Umuad mishalim nezek shalim in ha'aliyah. And muad pays up to nezek shalim. My aliyah. So what does that mean? Aliyah. Amr balazar bimeula shebenachasav. With the best of its properties. That's also alluding, not just above what it's worth, but meula shebenachasav. Like Idis, v'cheinu omer, as it says by Chizkiyahu, v'yishkav Chizkiyahu mavosav, the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. If you see a pasuk of Chizkiyahu, you know it's either Divrei Hayamim or Malachim. Divrei Hayamim has to be learned with all the other svarim that they talk about also. A lot of times, each sefer in Tanakh is mashlim the others. You can't get a full picture of a lot of the Malachim without learning both Malachim and Yirmiyahu and Divrei Hayamim. Right? The famous reason of David HaMelech can't build a base of Migdash because he has dam on his hands, that's only in Divrei Hayamim. That's not in Malachim. That reason is not given in Malachim. And there are other, that's just one out of many examples. But there's a lot left out. From Malachim, Yirmiyahu did not put everything in. So this is from Yedivrei Hayamim. Chizkiyahu, one of the great kings of Yehuda, dies. Vayikberu b'ma'aleh kivrei b'nei David. He was buried in the ma'aleh, which means the best part of kivrei b'nei David. V'amar v'lazer b'ma'aleh eitzal me'ulam shebe'mishpacha. He's buried with the me'ulam, the best of the family, right? Throughout Malachi Yehuda, there were ups and downs. Even Chizkiyahu is part of we mentioned this in Navi Shir a couple of weeks ago, the pendulum back and forth, right? Yotam was one of the great kings of Malchut Yehuda. He had a son, Achaz, who was one of the worst kings. He had a son, Chizkiyah, one of the best kings. He had a son, Menashe, one of the worst kings. And Amon, who was a grandson for 2 years. Yoshiyah, one of the best kings. Yehoachaz, one of the worst kings. Back and forth and back and forth. Malchut Yisrael were basically all negative, but Malchut Yehuda went back and forth. And that's why you remember the Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud, Chizkiyah did not want to have a child. And he was on his deathbed, and Yeshua came to him, and he said, why am I dying? Well, I see I'm going to have a Menashe, right? He was going to be terrible. B'hadikashi Rachman Olam Alach. You know, you do the mitzvah for Revu, and you can't worry about anything else. Okay, back to the Gemara, but that's about Chizkiyahu. Umat, so Rabbi Elazar says, Ma'aleh means Me'ulam Shebe Mishpacha. Umaninu Davru Shlomo. He was buried in the plot with David and Shlomo. Vayikberu B'kivrosav. Now we're talking about Asa. Also a positive king. Once we're talking about burial of Malchi Yehuda, so we also darshan this pasuk. Asa was buried in the burial plot of Ir David, and they were mashkiv him in a place filled of besamim, spices, uznim. My besamim uznim. Rabbi Elazar Omer, zini, zini. Different types of spices. It was such powerful perfume that anyone who smelled the perfume in this would be led to inappropriate behavior. Period. Right? Rashi knows that we're not always familiar with these tzokim. Rashi says, Bir Yirmiyo anaviksiv. Pasuk in Yirmiyo. Right? Rashi was before the Torah or put it in the middle of the column. So, Yirmiyahu says, they dug a pit to trap me. Reb Elazar Omer, Shachashtuhu Mizona. They were choshed him, Yirmiyo gave them Musar for all those years. And they didn't want to hear it. So what do? When you don't want to hear Musar? So you put the insult back on the other guy. So they were choshed him that he was with a Zona. That's the pit that they dug for him. Shmuel ben Achmeni Amar Shachashtu Me'eshes Ish. And they say not just a Zona, but a married woman. Bishlam Alamand Amar Shachashtu Mizona Haino Dechziv Kishucha Amuka Zona. The word Shucha that he used is used elsewhere to refer to Zona. El Alamand Amar Shachashtu Me'eshes Ish My Shucha. Where do you see the word Shucha referring to Eshes Ish? Says the Gemara, Atu Eshes Ish Minafke Michal Zona. That's also halachically a Zona. So they both referred from the word Shucha in the previous Pasuk. Right, Hashem, you know, they're talking that I'm chayav misa, Yirmiyahu is saying, because that's a married woman. No, that's literally, they threw him in the pit. They threw Yirmiyahu in the pit. Right, Yishayahu Anavi was killed earlier, and Yirmiyahu was thrown in the pit here. So, says the Yirmiyahu, that's the reference of death, not the chshad that they said, but that they actually threw him into the pit. The Maharsha here has a very interesting comment where he quotes many parallels between Yirmiyahu Anavi and Moshe Rabbeinu. Many different parallels between them. Because we know Moshe Rabbeinu, we have similar chazals, that they said Moshe Rabbeinu, they rechoshed him, right, that he was doing things. Shem Moshe v'Yirmiyahu shneim shavim. Hayu muchanim l'nevua l'zman rav. They both had nevua for 40 years. Zeo chicha mem shana, zeo chicha mem shana. Hutzrechu lifrosh minishoseihem. By Moshe v'atopo, both were nechshadim. By Leitzani Adar, he goes through a lot of parallels between the two of them. Okay, we're going to stop before the last few lines because there's a lot to say about them. We'll stop by Darash Rav, and we will continue. Just a heads up, we're going to have tomorrow's daf, and Hashem, we'll have one more, and then there's going to be they'll be put up for the last cycle because of the transition time as we go to our summer home in Camp Cayley. But Be'ez Hashem, we will tomorrow's daf though, and then we'll give the rest of the schedule. Okay, we'll stop here.